As part of our Books We Missed series, we're looking at a cuisine not well known in the United States, Sri Lankan cooking. Hip hop journalist and filmmaker S.H. Skiz Fernando Jr. spent a year in Sri Lanka learning his family's favorite recipes and facing his toughest critics, his four Sri Lankan aunts. After returning to the United States, he compiled the recipes for an American palate in the cookbook Rice and Curry, Sri Lankan Home Cooking. So we want to hear from you. How do you modify your family's recipes for an American kitchen? Call us at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Skiz Fernando Jr. is here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Hi.
So I understand you're the only one in your family born in the U.S.
Correct.
But you didn't fully appreciate your mom's cooking until you go off to college. What happened?
Isn't that the usual case? Well, you know, as you said, Jennifer, I was born in the U.S. and raised here as well. My mother used to make Sri Lankan food maybe once or twice a week for us. And I remember as a little kid, I always used to kind of fuss. But, you know, once you go away to college and you're basically just eating institutional food, you know, you long for that taste of home.
Suddenly it's pretty good.
Exactly. So that was my first spark of interest in, you know, getting back in touch with my, you know, home culture. And obviously the food is a big part of that.
And you eventually decided that you wanted to learn so much you needed to go to Sri Lanka.
Well, you got to go to the source, you know. That's the best place to learn about, you know, the cuisine. And also it's much more than just the food. You know, there's a whole ritual to shopping and buying ingredients, and you have to know what all the spices do. You know, they're also practical applications, you know, for the spices in the whole Ayurvedic system of medicine. So,
beyond eating, you mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a real science, you know, Sri Lankan cuisine.
So if you're feeling tired, your mom would cook this for the chicken curry.
And oh yeah, yeah. Maybe not like that, but there are certain spices that you can, you know, you can make a tea out of or something like that, or, you know, everything has its own, in everything has a distinct use.
All right, we already have a call on the line. Let's hear from Randy in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi there.
Hi, I just wanted to say I just came back from 3 weeks in Sri Lanka, and it's an incredible country. And we took cooking lessons while we were there. And the thing that I thought was absolutely the most outstanding thing I've ever eaten is pineapple curry, and I'm wondering if you know about it.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the recipe is in my book for pineapple curry. It's interesting that you brought that up, because that's actually one of the more obscure dishes, because you wouldn't think that a sweet fruit would make a tasty curry, but actually it does, because, you know, you got the sweet, spicy thing going on.
Mm.
And, you know, I also have a recipe for mango curry in my book, too.
Ooh, yum. So, Randy, what other surprises did you find in Sri Lanka?
Well, the country itself is so beautiful and the people are so nice. But as far as food goes, I love coriander tea. That was another thing that...
Coriander tea?
Yep.
Huh.
There you go.
And a fruit that I've never heard of before called Amberella, which was wonderful.
Wow, was that your first time in Sri Lanka?
Yes, it was.
Excellent. And you had a great time, I'm sure.
I did.
All right, Randy, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
So we want to hear how you modify your family's recipes for an American kitchen. Call us at 800-989-8255 or email us talk@npr.org. Skiz, is that what I call it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that spice, the fruit she talked about?
Umbrella. I don't think there is a analog to it in the West. I think it's pretty much only found in Sri Lanka. It's kind of a sour fruit, and you can eat it raw. They make a lot of chutneys out of it. And it's also one of those fruits that are used in Ayurveda. I have a supplement that I take every day for good digestion, and it's got umbrella in it. So,
umbrella. Yeah. Okay, so here in the realm of there is no stupid question, can I ask you, what is the difference between Sri Lankan and Indian food?
Okay, that's a question I get a lot. Seeing that we're dealing with curries here, But no two curries are the same. If you notice, every Asian country, even Japan, has their own version of curry. And actually, when you get back to the etymology of the whole thing, curry is in fact a British creation.
Really?
Curry powder, yeah. Now the Sri Lankan curries are usually very spicy. That's kind of the signature of Sri Lankan food in general. It's very spicy, and we use two different kinds of curry powder. We use a roasted curry powder, which has 13 different spices, which are individually roasted before they're ground and blended together. And then we have a raw curry powder, which has three different ingredients: coriander, cumin, and fennel. And those seeds are just ground raw; they're not roasted. And the unroasted powder is used for vegetable curries, and the roasted powder is used for meat and fish curries.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, I brought you a couple bottles.
Are these your own? You've actually decided to you've created your own line of spices.
Correct. Yeah, I have my own little brand. It's called Skiz's Original. I have Sri Lankan roasted curry powder and Sri Lankan raw curry powder. And this was just, you know, because a lot of the dishes in my book use either of these two blends, I figure this will be a little time saver for people. So
if they can't find it at their local Whole Foods or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. And you know, Sri Lankan curry powder, as I said, is very specific. I don't know any other curry powder that uses 13 different ingredients that are all roasted together, you know, before they're ground. So it's very complex, and it's a lot of different levels of flavor there, too.
Mm. All right, let's get another call in. Behi is in Orlando, Florida. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go right ahead.
I just wanted to call and say it is so wonderful to hear Skiz's voice. Skiz, we performed together in Nantes, France, over a decade ago.
Wow.
This is in Skiz's other life as a hip-hop performing artist?
Yes, yes. And it's just wonderful to hear that you've come full circle into the cooking world. I'm a performance artist myself and actually have been finding a lot of joy and solace in the kitchen with recipes from my own family history. So,
and what history is that?
Nice to see how circles collide.
Excellent.
What's your family's?
My family background is Trinidadian.
Okay, so what have you had to tweak some of those recipes when you make them in the U.S.?
Yeah, and actually a lot of our recipes in Trinidad overlap with Southeast Asia because we have a large Indian diaspora in Trinidad. So
True.
Many of the recipes are similar with the curries, and I actually also have a pineapple curry recipe. So, but again, Skiz, I mean, just delightful to hear the work that you're doing and really happy to be able to go out and get that book.
Hey, great. Thanks for calling in. And I love Trini food, by the way, too. I love all Caribbean food, Jamaican Trini. I love the habanero peppers, which used to be the spiciest peppers in the world. Now I'm hearing about the ghost chili out of Assam, India, which is supposed to be like a million Scoville units. I've yet to try it yet.
I hear a cooking show contest here, hottest wherever. Behi, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We have an email from Karen Winnegar who says, I love Sri Lankan food. It's aromatic, healthy, sensuous, complex. She's the author of Fire and Spice, The Cuisine of Sri Lanka. And she says she doesn't measure. She sort of does it by feel. Is that what you do, Skiz?
I think most cooks in general, you know, kind of dispense with the measurements. Definitely Sri Lankan cooks. It's just like a pinch of this and a, you know, handful of that. That was actually the biggest challenge in converting these recipes into something that Americans could actually use, because, you know, when I was watching my aunts cook and when I was watching Leela, who's one of my aunt's cooks, you know, it's just there's no measurements at all. So that was the biggest challenge in putting together this book of recipes.
Tell me more about your aunts there. They were the standard you had to reach, right?
Yeah, that was
they were your taste testers.
Exactly. Led by my oldest aunt, Auntie Dora, who just turned 85. I was just in Sri Lanka a couple weeks ago to help celebrate her birthday. I also have Auntie Padma, Auntie Lalita, excuse me, Auntie Nalini, all of them definitely contributed to the book. You know, if not by giving recipes, then by giving me tips about how to make something, or you know, so it's really a family style cookbook, because all of these, and that's why the book is also called Sri Lankan Home Cooking, because all of this food is very folksy food that is really meant to be prepared in the home by
regular
people.
Sri Lankan comfort food.
Exactly.
All right, we have an email from Keith Stansfeld in Ogden, Utah. He says, while on deployment in Iraq, an Iraqi family introduced me to mango curry. Fortunately, a local Indian restaurant will make mango curry for me, but I look forward to your book so I can make my own. Let's take another call. Elizabeth in Quicksburg, Pennsylvania.
Quicksburg, Virginia.
I'm sorry, Virginia. Hi there.
Hi. I live a lot all over Southeast Asia, and I really miss laksa.
Okay.
Do you have a recipe in the book?
You know, that's more of a Malaysian dish. Laksa is actually it's almost like a soup. It's like a curry soup with noodles, and it's got shrimp in it. I love to make it myself, but we don't have anything similar in Sri Lanka. We're not big on soups there, really.
I was hoping. But, it's hard to get laksa paste in the U.S., that's all.
Right, because it's made with the dried shrimp. That's a very special ingredient. But I'm sure if you're able to go to an Asian store, I'm sure they might have it, because I know Asian stores in New York have that ingredient.
All right, well, Elizabeth, good luck with that.
Thanks.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another call on the line. Kelly in Centennial, Wyoming.
Hey, I just wanted to mention that is there much kefir lime leaves used in Sri Lankan cooking?
Not at all.
Oh, well, I was going to say that if there was, you cannot find those in these parts of the world, and I always substitute lime peel, and it works pretty good.
Okay.
And what are you making that you use those in?
Oh, I do, you know, like some Southeast Asian cuisine and whatnot. Soups and stews.
You know what? I've actually gotten kefir lime leaves at Whole Foods, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, that's still a good couple-hour drive from where we're at.
Oh, okay. But one leaf that we do use a lot in Sri Lankan cooking is the curry leaf. We use fresh curry leaves in almost every dish. And to me, that's like the signature flavor of Sri Lankan food. So if you happen to get my book and you want to make these dishes, you got to get that ingredient.
And
fresh
you can
curry
find that
leaves.
At Whole Foods?
You can get that at Whole Foods, and you can get that if you have an Indian store in your community, they'll definitely have it as well.
And what about if not?
If not, in the back of the book, there's a couple websites that I give. I think one of them is Lanka Delight, where you can order all of this stuff directly from them, and they'll ship it anywhere in the U.S.
All right, Kelly, does that help?
That helps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's an email from Richard in Florida. There was a marvelous restaurant in Minneapolis when I was working there some 15-plus years ago called the Sri Lankan Curry House. The food was magnificent, but you needed to be able to tolerate, if not enjoy, spicy food. There was no mild on the menu. I hear it's since closed, and I am sad to hear that. I miss it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Have you, had a biggest disaster or tried to substitute something and it just didn't work?
Well, I've had when I first started cooking, you know, I can eat very spicy food myself. So it's kind of difficult when I first started cooking to make curry for other people, because I would spice it to a level that I could take it. And I've definitely almost killed a couple friends along the way. So, you know, you live and learn. You learn by experimenting and doing. Now,
you couldn't taste the rest of the meal because
exactly.
You were just numb.
No, I'm talking about people who were passed out. So, you know, obviously now I've learned to strike a happy medium.
All right, let's get another call in here. Trevor in Golden, Colorado. Hi there.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say this subject's really close to my heart. I actually finished a master's project on Sri Lankan tourism, and I talked about how food is really important to promote it here. And I wanted to say I visited the central mountain region of the Kandy area, and this seems like that central mountain region where all of those spices come from. It's like got a whole different aroma to the countryside than, say, you get at the beach. And I was wondering if, a lot of the spices, what's, like, the most unique thing out of that region that is really hard to, you can't really get here at all?
Yeah, that's definitely true. The Central Highlands, which the caller is talking about, is also really where all the tea is grown. And, you know, Sri Lanka has been known for years for tea. It's still, in fact, it's still called Ceylon tea.
Mm.
Ceylon is the old name, that the British had for the island when it was a British colony. But in addition to tea, practically every spice you can think of is grown up there. Black pepper, cloves, cardamom, I mean, you name it. And, you know, for such a tiny island to produce so many, such a varied amount of spices is also incredible, in my opinion.
Is it logical to get, like, actual Ceylon cinnamon in the United States and a lot of that come here? Or
you can definitely get that. Once again, if you go to an Indian, if you have an Indian store in your community, the cinnamon that they have will probably be Ceylon cinnamon. And I'm sure Whole Foods would also have it.
Sure.
But yes, cinnamon has been one of our big crops, you know, from antiquity. Sri Lanka used to trade cinnamon with the Egyptians in like 2000 BC.
Wow.
So
yeah. That's great. Trevor, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And we've got an email tip from Gonzalo. He says dried shrimp are readily available in most supermarkets in Mexico. Try going to some Latin American grocery stores for this. We're almost out of time, but any quick tip or a hint at a favorite recipe, we can send people to our website.
Well, unfortunately, they didn't bring it out for you, Jennifer, but I made some chicken curry, so.
I may not be able to speak the rest of the hour if I
No, I didn't make it too spicy for you. But also, just let me mention that my cookbook, Rice and Curry Sri Lankan Home Cooking, is the only one with customer service. Okay.
Right.
My email is curryfiend@gmail.com. And if you have any questions about the recipes, drop me a line there.
S.H. Skiz Fernando Jr., author of the cookbook Rice and Curry Sri Lankan Home Cooking. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can find his recipe for chicken curry at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation Science Friday looks back at the science stories that made headlines in 2011. And Monday, 2012, Neil Conan will be back. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington.